Very well. So my name is Naji, and the family name Abi Hashim, the father of Hashim. And then I was born in Lebanon and came to the States around 30 years of age to continue, or 27, to continue some of the graduate studies and training. And also the Lord used me here to help with Middle Eastern congregations being established in California. So help them in, you know, training leaders and speaking, preaching, and then congregation. So I'm ordained minister as well, by God's grace, and I have backgrounds in technology first, electronics, second, cultural studies, biblical studies, theology, and then pastoral care and counseling, and then clinical psychology. And after that, I've been pursuing a lot of certificates and degrees and training, but at the same time, always working, serving, and learning. See? Like a evangelical monk. They do three things. They work, they study, and they pray. They pray, they study, they work. No vacation, no socialization, no screen time. So, and that's one of the benefits of being single, you know, or being unattached to a demanding family, either small unit or extended family, and we'll talk more about that. So we thank the Lord for our time together, and we ask Him to bless this session and so many other sessions going around, and maybe you can join me in a word of prayer to open up our time and our seminar. And Father in heaven, we come before you to seek your face, seek your mercy, and seek your grace. We thank you because you care for us. You have called us from different places and countries and made us your disciple to serve in your kingdom. We thank you for this privilege and this responsibility. Help us to remain faithful now until we see your face and we hear good words from you. Welcome and good, well done, faithful servant. We realize, Lord, that without you we cannot accomplish anything. We need your grace, your discernment, your wisdom, your energy, and the Holy Spirit to order our steps and meet us at every turn and give us the grace and the favor in the eyes of people that we are interacting and serving. And thank you, Lord, because you understand us better than we understand ourselves. And we take comfort in that because we don't know ourselves completely, or we cannot manage and handle ourselves. And at the same time, we are caring for others and serving on the front lines, and sometimes under pressure and stress. You sustain us, and you help us, and you give us the grace in weakness and the strength in our vulnerability. And we commit ourselves to you now. Be our teacher, our counselor, our healer, our master. Bless every man and woman here. Bless their lives, their journey, their past, their present, and their future. So we commit all to you, to the work of your grace. Bless all the sessions happening here. And we pray also for those who are serving you in difficult places around the world. And we pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. And we pray for the places where there are tragedies and wars and devastation and atrocities and trauma and terror and horror. And Lord, we are so heartbroken that still in this time and age, the aggression is still so prevalent and so wild in nature, and the arms and the wars. Help us to wage peace, Lord, and help us to be peacemakers and ambassadors of peace and on building bridges. And we pray for those in power that you may talk to them in their hearts, in their conscience, in their mind, and change their ways and convict them. So we pray to disturb the bad intentions and the evil, and then you succeed those with good intentions. So we have some tranquility and peace to serve you and extend and advance your kingdom. We pray all these in the marvelous and strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I'm not listening much to news because I'm very disturbed, and I'm from Lebanon, and my people there are extremely nervous about Lebanon being dragged into this brutal war. So that's what part of my prayer here, that we're focusing on this, and this is part of our and a nice, comfortable conference, but not everybody is comfortable around the world. Even some people serving the Lord in extremely stressful, difficult, painful ways. So we have to remember them. And that leads us to think about how can we serve the Lord and make the best of our abilities and potential and plan our trajectory in the future and then reach some level of contentment, not happiness, but contentment along the journey. Okay? Not able to control all the environment, not able to control all the factors and variables, but always how can we make the best of where we are and what we have. And one of my mottos is do your best with what you have, do what you can with what you have and where you are. And this is a little abstract for, do you mind put it over there here? Thank you. About some things we're going to cover together, and I welcome any feedback or any question or any comment along the way. I wish we have 3 hours because I have plenty of material, and then this can open up so many spheres and doors and discussions and windows. So actually there are a lot of advantages for someone who is not attached or have responsibilities like in marriage or extended family or caring for elderly people or something. There are some advantages of being unattached or unmarried. But we need attachment in terms of psychological, emotional, belonging and bonding, of course. But especially for people of like us or some of you are going to be, who are going to be engaged in broader endeavors, in wide circles, in caring ministry here, there, and everywhere. However, being a human, we have disadvantages as well, right? Because we are human. And being human meaning we have vulnerabilities, we have limitations, we have weaknesses, we have shadows, we have the sin nature that's following us. All together, unmet needs. That doesn't only, not characterize only single people, but we have some disadvantages, challenges and obstacles, sometimes of different nature, but not completely strange or alien. So that's the point I want to make. So we're going to redefine some terms and things that the popular culture and then people in churches, they do sometimes, and review some of our challenges. What are some of the frustrations you may face now and in the future, or unpleasant experiences, or comments from people all the way bombarding you? Are you still single? How come someone like you is still single? Say, oh. And you try to come up with some answer, either humorous or deep or existential, but the questions will keep coming, you know. So sometimes I would say, I really don't know. Or I missed so many opportunities. Or I'm so busy, I didn't have enough time to pursue or to put the effort and the time in courting. I don't use the word dating. I'm kind of like in denial, I don't know. But if we miss some opportunities in life, God has other gifts for us along the way. Okay, but we cannot seize all the opportunities that God will give us and all the open doors. We have to be selective sometimes. And for every lifestyle, there is a price. There is some privilege and there is some responsibility. In Christianity, there is no privilege without responsibility, or responsibility without a privilege. But you have to choose your battle and you choose your spheres of influence. So we're going to highlight some positive gains we have, advantages, and the potential of making more achievement and more accomplishment by God's grace. And also learn how to cope and survive and strive, and moreover to strive. And there is an article I wrote about resiliency, make sure to read it. I've written a lot, but if you Google my name, sometimes some of those will come. Not to brag about that, but sometimes they say, I Googled you, and then what do you find? So I Googled my name one time. I said, okay. Because I don't have a website on my own. I have web pages where I put some articles the Lord has allowed me to publish, and those would be on your pamphlet as well. So what is your mindset? Is it powerful or is it weak? Are you dragging yourself in life until something happened to start live, or you can start living now and be meaningful and you have high potential, high resiliency, and high power, both on personal level and on a global level, okay? So we have to keep working in ourselves, and we have to keep working in with others and for others and in kingdom work, and then regardless what it is, you know, is soul care or administration or technical, but don't forsake yourself. Keep working on yourself. I put the citation in case somebody will quote something from this material so you know how to cite it, because I may publish something out of that. So virtually, unmarried people like us are not strange people. Are you strange? Yes, in what way?
Lots of ways.
Lots of ways. Welcome to the group. But we are a human being, right? But sometimes some segment of society deal with us or singles as separate group or subgroup, or subculture, or like aliens, you know, we don't belong anywhere. No, wait a minute. We are full human. We have full faculties and full possibilities, and we have full potentials and abilities and connections. And even we can have more connections and more networking than the married people. We can have more flexibility and more freedom to travel, more freedom to work on multiple levels, multiple channels than the one who has responsibility and has to keep checking with his wife. Oh, what did you say? Oh, did you say this or that? And we need to decide on this and we have to discuss that. You can make your decision alone, financial decision, time-wise decision, project decision, location decision. So don't forget these. If you are married and you start having a possessive spouse or children and then a high network of demanding friends and families, that can be very restricting. So, as a single people, never married or never married before, some of them, the situation is not different. You know, we are people. Children are children, adults are adults, married are married, non-married are they. But we all have the image of God. The Imago Dei is printed in us, and we all have our special mandate from the Lord and special open doors that give in front of us to make contribution on local scale and on a broader scale. And it's up to you how much you want to take on yourself. But the limit is the sky. So words are important. How do you label or define? Those are significant because words have word picture, and then the word can generate some emotions and feelings behind that. See? And then we lock ourselves into that. So watch your labels in general. And before you speak or discuss, define the terminology. So in principle, any stage of life and our livelihood, we are meant not only to labor in it, but to enjoy it as well. Because the Lord, in His work, in His wisdom, He wants us to enjoy life and endure life, to labor and to rest. Rest gives meaning to labor. Labor gives meaning to rest. See? And hardship gives meaning to joy, and joy gives meaning to hardship. So life is meant to be both. And that's true on our spiritual journey, because ultimately, what should be our goal ultimately, you know, on this side of eternity, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever and share Him with others as wide as we can. But not all attached people are the same as all married people are the same, as we said. Marital status is just one slice of the pie. So don't make it as a single person. That's the whole goal. That's the whole cloud that covers everything. And until I find my better half or bitter half, as some people call it, after a few years, and I've done hundreds of marital therapy in my clinical work in the past, so I feel, oh, I'm not missing much, you know. They're both dedicated believers, and they're struggling to the bones. Wow. Anyway, this is what I'm saying here. Not all married people are happily married, or they can keep it as happily married as their honeymoon. And not all unmarried people are miserable as well. Most of you are miserable?
No.
I was hoping for more voices. Are most of you miserable?
No.
So there is a lot of factors that can make someone content or discontent. So we have to watch that. And there is a lot of equations and formulas that defines our roles, our functions, our posture in society, and finally our philosophical mindset and existence. You see, that's existential core. You know, am I one person complete by myself under God, or I'm one lacking until? You see, sometimes our mind plays games to us. So watch your thought pattern. Not every thought that passes over our head is healthy, is productive, constructive. Some of them are, we hear from media, from our past, or from our negative side of life. So consider them as blackbirds. They can circle above your head, but don't allow them to make a nest on top of your head. Okay? You can talk to these thoughts and say, I don't have time for you or energy to entertain you. I push you aside. I put you on the margin. Come back later. The same thing you can talk to your unmet needs. Either you're starving for some food, starving for some more rest, or you have some need for sexual intimacy coming and then bothering you. You don't know what to do with that. So I say, okay, I'm aware of you. I don't have time for you right now. I want to postpone you. And you know what? Psychologically, physiologically, neurologically, any urge doesn't last sometimes, or on average lasts between 15 seconds to 90 seconds. So if you can postpone it, or don't act upon it, or put it on the side, on the margin, or distract yourself and do something else and go for a walk, drink some water, listen to some different things, and then call someone, stretch physically, because that changes our chemical in the muscles and nervous system. It goes away. It may come back. See? So watch your urgent messages that come, and then if those are constructive and then helpful, and then part of your calling, act upon them. If not, maybe even if it's good, but it's not the right time, wrong time, we postpone it. Because we have to work on a number of items and circles and levels, and we cannot attend to a huge number of things. We have to attend to the most urgent and most important. So we keep the less urgent, less important till later. So that's also another urgent thing. And I'm extremely involved in so many circles, so I'm always behind. So that bothers me, but that's the story of my life. I think I will continue like that. But I have always to sort what is the most important and the most urgent to focus on. And between us, not always the most urgent is the most important, the most essential. But we live in an urgent world and something. So, as a social being, we never become social self unless we are related meaningful to others. So in North America, me, myself, and I and mine are high social values. Everything is, you know, you rely on self, your independence, your autonomy, your privacy, your boundaries. Yeah. But is that healthy? Is that biblical? Some other culture, world culture, is the we, us together, and ours is more important, is priority than me, myself, and I. I only have meaning in relationship to the we. So as single or married or divorced or alien or terrestrial or extraterrestrial, we need the we together, community, the glue. The glue is the getting unglued in many industrial societies. And with the invasion of the digital invasion, that is ungluing the human relationship more. So we're confused. What is human nature? What is the nature of human relationship anymore? Is it like contact through texting, through electronics, through digital, 0011, or there is some heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, eye-to-eye, mind-to-mind relationship? So don't forsake that. Because a cohesive self, a related self, a bonded self is a healthy self. And the Lord calls us to be healthy selves in order to be healthy disciples and serve Him well in His kingdom. See, we never become perfect, but we strive for completion, not perfection. And it is a journey, not a destination. And when we are well connected, you become productive and content. Because this connectivity is the pandemic of industrial societies. This connectivity. Even societies like North America have everything, affluent and comfortable and finances and powerful and wide and so forth. But they need the most psychotherapy and psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers in the world, the high consumers. Why? Because of the isolation, loneliness, and disconnectivity. We are meant to be in relationship as the koinonia of the Trinity, and we are kind of reflection of that, and we need koinonia in our humanity as well. Are you following me? We are soul, spirit, body, mind, culture, and we have to be also within a koinonia on the outer layer. And then we can function well. So I covered the individualism versus collectivism. We need both. But one gives meaning to the other. And each one of you has a private self and has a public self. And sometimes we act more relaxed when we're alone. But this should not be way too different from the public self. Otherwise, we'll be acting and then have a facade. Those two selves should be close as much as possible. Okay? You dress well when you go out. You put the best profile. You want to perform well. But you're more relaxed when you're at home and with your buddies. But those should be together. Some people, even in ministry, they are so this holy profile, you know, when they're in ministry. And when they're not in their, you know, they are worse than street people. So what's the discrepancy? That's not healthy. So watch that. And then we are not, as I said, you know, planet floating alone in the universe or the galaxy. We have gravitational force. We bring people toward us, and we are drawn toward other people to run in their orbits. We invite people to run in our orbits at the same time. So watch the power of your gravity and how wide and broad it is, and where are you floating, and always check on them to have them healthy connections and relationships and orbits. Now to the humorous part here, by the definition. So the status of unattached adulthood or being unmarried or single, you know, some, you know, either make us believe or they call it as less social status, as a deficit or devalue or disqualification or depreciation, but it's not a disorder, right? And you can add so many D's if you want there about this, as people call it, or we call ourselves. No. We are not subculture. We are not different. We are not like aliens. Even society, even churches, they have special category for single people. And couples meet separately, you know, small families separately, and this and separately. But I would encourage us to break into those circles. Don't wait for them to invite us. Suggest for people who have children, I can watch your children sometimes, and you can go have some run some things and then do some. Adopt elderly, you know, adopt older people, because they give you nurture, and they need to father and mother others. They are sitting, you know, on the margin. Nobody is using them. And so you break the ice, you break the circles, and then you make yourself available, and then let people, you know, gravitate around you. So you become the center, like the sun and the whole in the solar system, instead of floating away in the darkness there, like Jupiter or something. Good, let's move into the earth now. Therefore, single, us and you and your friends, are normal, regular and balanced people. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, wake up. Are you quite able and capable?
Yes.
Yes. Not second class, not awkward, not lacking, not dysfunctional, not outcast or incompetent or incomplete. Okay. So work on your completeness and celebrate your completeness, because you and the Lord are the majority. And that, you know, when you invite so many other people and invest in others, and then if you work, you know, sometimes in different international societies, you mix with the nationals. Don't stay with the expatriates. You mix it. They will invite you to their home. They will adopt you. You will have tons of families overnight. So that breaks all isolation, or, you know, me and then sitting in the coldness of my little bubble. That can be very nurturing and enriching, and bring mutual, you know, beauty and joy and richness to others as well, and gives us energy to continue on the journey. So when you consider our life and our service, either one man or one woman are powerful, are effective, and sometimes better than the committee. Many people, they like to give assignments to one single person rather than the committee or even a couple. Why? Because the single-mindedness I used in the title. Right? So there are some privileges and responsibilities for us. But, you know, one of the advantages for you is you can have multiple settlement, live in so many different places, which I do, like a nomad, some people call me. That's fine. So quickly you can live out of your suitcases, open homes, you travel here, travel there, everything. So the mobility is a great, great advantage, right? And then you have multiple relationships with multiple families and multiple friends and multiple relatives, multiple social classes and social layers that a married person cannot. And then you can have multiple affiliations. I'm a member of 12 professional organizations or associations. Besides, you know, I have several communities of faith in Seattle and in Beirut, and in Nashville, and in other places. So you can be multi-dimensional, multi-layered, multi-influencer. And that increases your exposure and your productivity if you can have some, you know, management and know how to limit some involvement and discussions, and then know how to say big yes, and then small no, or limited yes, or big no, the Lord will lead, right? Another is your faith. If you want to nurture your faith and then nurture your intimacy with the Lord, there is no limit. The sky is the limit. Why? There is no the babies or the wife or the husband or then the obligations, social obligations, this and that, demanding. If you want to read, if you want to spend some time in walk, prayer walks which I do a lot. If you want to listen to your favorite music, I put a lot of scripture when I'm preparing myself. Let the scripture, you know, run. Like Psalm 63, almost I listen to it 2-3 times a week. I memorized 12 Psalms when I was 20 years of age, in Arabic, when I was in Beirut. So when I came here, I started memorizing them in English. So now I know a lot of scripture in both languages. But those who I memorized early, they come to me early in the morning, or as I'm falling asleep. Why? The unconscious is full of them. And I want to leave with you, if I forgot, I meant to put it on my last slide. Please, besides memorizing general scripture, memorize Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms, which can be relevant to our situation and our journey. Also, part of our makeup is we become more teachable and more moldable because we don't have too many ties and too many restrictions holding us. That comes with the flexibility. So the Lord can mold us, and then we can respond well to our mentors and to the need on the ground, and we have the flexibility and have transparency, because we don't have much to lose, and the vulnerability. We can be, you know, honest with ourselves and others, and we have the approachability that people feel comfortable and ease approaching you. You feel you're approachable, you know. You're highly accomplished, you're highly involved, but you're highly approachable, right? And then we can have the care and intimacy to others and then receive from others. And we don't need to sexualize intimacy because sex by itself, the act of sex by itself, is not extremely necessary for healthy living, see? But some people sexualize even touch. No, we need touch. Christ touched people. There are some exercises that we encourage to do, like you do like self-hug or something. You put soft music, you start breathing deep, and then you rub the shoulders on his side, and that generates some calmness in the nervous system. Or put a hand on your heart like that, and then do the slow, deep breathing. Okay, I have several favorite pillows. Sometimes when I'm tired or distressed or I don't have people around me to hug, I hug that, and I imagine I'm hugging an angel or an angel is hugging me. Okay? So use our imagination, because my friends, faith and imagination are cousins. They work together. It's not fantasy, you know, because we're called to use our imagination and visualization. And the book of Revelation is about visualizing heaven, right? But surround yourself with nurturing people as well, as I say. And then work on the endurance level, endurance capacity. How can I endure more and longer before breaking or before getting weak? And when can I charge my batteries and refuel my tank, emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically, and mentally, refueling our tanks. And then we are free to grow in grace and continue the journey toward maturity nonstop until we reach the other side of eternity. One of my role models is Dr. John Stott. Who's familiar with him? Very few. Yeah, he's considered like the Pope for Protestants, you know, in England. He was the chaplain for the Queen and King, and he wrote about 40, 50 books. He was single, never married, and he used to travel 3 months a year. I met him on a number of occasions. He's very gracious, a very gentleman, and good scholar. And he said, the best candidate for company or marriage are not the frustrated single people, but the content, the anchored, those who feel at ease with themselves, those make the best candidate. So keep working on yourself. If the Lord puts in front of you a person, ask the Lord will give you ability to recognize them. Recognize her, recognize him, and then you pursue that under his guidance. But don't be always frustrated looking, oh, maybe, well, who, may, this, that. So that takes a lot of emotional energy and drain, you know, sometimes. And so life is short, remember. And then he said that we are product of all these who are influenced, who have influenced us. And we need to play that role in others. And each one of us has the capacity to leave a good legacy. Another fellow I met here in Louisville at the Southern Theological Seminary last year or 2 years ago. He is born in India, but he went to Britain, came here, and he's a specialized medical physician in some kind of maybe, forgot, skin or some others. And he studied another PhD in preaching, another doctorate in this and that. He has like 3 doctors. And that's what his... I got, when I was searching what to put some life examples for you, I found a interview they have for him. That's the link. And he called singleness, in his terms, a spiritual discipline. Right? So he said he decided to be single by choice and decided to be single for life and decided to be single unto Christ and decided to be single in community all the time, all the days. So I thought those were nice. He's bold. Most of us don't close the door like that. See, called God called me to be single. That's very, very, very unique and very determined. Like God did called me to be married, or God called me to be a nun, or God called me to be an emperor. So we have to be careful about what, say, that God calls us. There are some natural processes, you know, we have to stay with them, natural laws, and then that's be comfortable. Now let's think a little bit quickly about your role as caregiver or as a minister, locally and globally. You may fit under one of those or combination of those, right? You may see yourself into one or more of these. I'm saying that because more roles and more spheres and dimension, more stress and more pressure, right? So how do we deal with stress? Stress is not stress altogether, but it can be positive stress or negative stress, but nevertheless, stress. And sometimes it's a lot of chronic stress, even though it's nice and positive and friendly, it triggers a lot of biochemical reaction in our bodies, right? Those of you in the medical field, the glands and the adrenaline and the cortisol and etc. So we have to be careful. The question is, in your multi-dimensional personality, which areas and faculties are you nurturing and growing in and attending to? And which faculties and branches and elements and segments and parts you're neglecting? And sometimes we have to neglect some to focus on others due to the need at the moment, right? A need of the hour, but not for too long, right? So look, where are you becoming giant, which areas, and which areas are you becoming dwarf? Which one are you becoming superhuman, or is it becoming less and then weak? So balance is extremely important. And to have the balance and healthy balance, we need to know ourselves well. Socrates said, know thyself, okay? Know thyself, and then the Apostle Paul said to his Timothy, his disciple one time, pay attention to yourself and the teaching, but first pay attention to yourself. And that's a important slide about self-awareness, how to pay attention to our thought pattern and cognition and intellects and ideas and concept, what runs in our mind at a certain point. And also pay attention to our feelings and emotions and actions and reactions and the movement of the soul and the memories who trigger some feelings, emotion, and affect. And then also physically, physiologically, what's happening with us? What are we doing when we think this way or when we feel that way? Or when I'm doing this, how I'm feeling and how I'm what I'm thinking. Each one affects the other reciprocally. This is our beautiful nature. So pay attention to that. Always ask yourself at certain moments, especially confused or need a decision, what am I feeling deeply right now? And what am I thinking deeply right now? And what I'm doing or would like to be doing right now? Also ask those penetrating questions to people you're working with, and you're teaching and you're serving. That helps positive self-awareness. Not self-obsession, to be obsessed with myself, oh, no. But as deep self-discovery. And the self-discovery generates healthy self-disclosure. Often I give this exercise to people in classes or seminars to make two lists on one piece of paper. Your strengths and positive qualities, talents and skills and areas you receive compliments about, and weaknesses, negative qualities, lack of skills, area needs improvement, and things you don't receive compliment but some negative feedback. And see which list gets longer with the weeks, with 2-3 weeks. Keep adding. In 2-3 minutes, most people have the negative list longer. And then in 5 minutes, most people have the list as equal. But if we do it like an hour or next day, the positives start to get. Why people take longer to discover the treasures. So, some positive experiences you will have if you serve across the street or across the border or across the ocean are some of those in this slide. Great sense of reward and a wonderful sense of collaboration with locals and peace that you're doing wonderful contribution, leaving your mark on history, and then you're part of God's kingdom and sense of accomplishment. You're always inspired, always motivated, always enthusiasm. There is sense of immediacy that I need to do more. You know, there is more opportunity. There's the, like Christ at some point had that sense of immediacy, but not anxious. Never he was anxious. And he will take time off and then come back to the urgent. And then you feel like you're part of a global movement, global health, global work. And that gives you self-satisfaction and contentment that you will never experience anywhere else. So we thank the Lord for that. However, some of us, because of our temperament, we may empathize with others deeper and greater and to a lot of extent. So that can lead into some fusion, right? And some depletion. But some who don't have much empathy, but they want to be in the helping profession, they become mechanical, impersonal, and cold, and so that doesn't create bonding or, you know. Most of people go to helping profession have high level of empathy, have capacity, but they can burn out. So, need to know how much I want to invest and when I want to de-invest. How much I want to attach and when I want to start to detach a little bit in order to focus my energy, emotional energy, somewhere else. And then you start taking to your pillow less troubles from people in the world as you gain experience. And that's what we call compassion fatigue. How many of you heard of compassion fatigue? Yeah, good, very well. That means when we show and give extensive mercy and tireless grace and extend ourselves way too much. And that has little qualities of secondary trauma, vicarious trauma, but not exactly. And but, you know, that can lead to burnout and acute stress and other symptoms that you start not enjoying your work and your ministry. And when that happens, it's not healthy. And those, you know, can overlap these burnout symptoms, clinical depression, acute stress, and anxieties of those. So they can overlap, you know. Sometimes you don't know how much of each, but we have. Because our human emotions are really great and deep. So we are called to become efficient and healthier, to produce and to personalize care, and to labor and to rest, to reflect and to invest and sacrifice. An ounce of prevention is what? Better than tons of care or intervention. In Arabic, dirham wiqaya khayron min qintar ilaj. It's musical, it's like that. So what are the areas we want to manage? We have the challenge to manage our time, manage our health, manage our relationships, right? Some of them are high management. You remember that some people are high maintenance and some low maintenance. We have to manage our temptations and distractions, our life details. And I have the examples here, you know. And the distractions. I'm not sure how many social medias are you on, but and the only notifications coming, that's a huge full-time job. So when can we do life, you know? So, and we also need to manage our serenity. We have needs for existential rest and reflection and prayer life and feeding our soul and praying for others and praying for the world. So common temptations and common holes in the souls, as I call them, are majorly isolation and people who are not connected organically with physical people around them 24 hours, they tend, some of us are more inward, some of us are more outward. I don't use the word introvert, outward, but we have to know our tendency and then work with that. But isolation, sometimes by default, is not healthy, neither by design. So loneliness and disconnection. So what's your temptation for when you are too lonely? How do you cope with the loneliness? And this is a list of unhealthy things, you know, and behaviors that we can involve in and then try to cope with. To move on, we are also called to become global citizens and biblical believers. Not only North American believers or African believers or Asian. So to develop, cultivate balanced worldview and cultural sensitivity and cultural humility required. And that keep walking about on our anxiety to keep it low. We need little anxiety to perform well, but we need high hope to keep motivated as well. And then have multicultural work and cross-national involvement. And here I have three slides about practical suggestion and guidelines and hints and so forth. So before I go through them quickly, and you will find them online too, and last year they start taking pictures of each one, but I made them available if you have access to the online. But let's see if there is any thoughts, any feedback, any idea, any question. And I want to invite you to stay longer here. Last year, people stayed 20 minutes longer, you know, because I'm not sure if there is anything right after until dinner at 5:30. Feel free to come and talk and then to continue and so forth. If you have to leave, God be with you and so forth, right? Yeah, so any thought, idea, what do you relate to most, and yes, ma'am.
Moving to new places as a single person can be, moving to new places as a single person can be single person can be pretty hard because you don't have that Insta companion that married people have, that you can say, oh, my new day, my new job, or new school is stressful, and I get to talk about it with somebody. You have to almost make new connections that are, they don't have that intimacy yet, and they don't for a while. So how do you, when you've just gone somewhere new, cope with that loneliness at the beginning until you can have those more?
Yeah. You see, we have to define our terminology again. You call that moving causing loneliness. It should cause joy because anticipation. And you call it, I don't have the someone to lean on and friend. And when you are here, do you lean on only one person? You know, we have dozens of people should have in our network from physical to virtual, you know. So true, if we don't have physical help, two hands and two feet to help, you know. But what I do and encourage, before you move, do your homework and ask, who can I connect with there? And how can I connect before I move? And they can welcome me and receive me and help me, you know. And if you don't, I call some churches, you know. I call my friends, do you know anyone there? And then if you have done this so many times, it doesn't become stressful or feeling that's... Because it's just a matter of time before you start meeting and then reaching out and then people welcome you and immediately, and especially in warm culture, they invite you immediately, they adopt you immediately. So you will be overwhelmed by how many families and how many physical, tangible people are in the network here. But practice ahead of time and then network ahead of time. Yes. Yes, sir.
Are there any places or cultures you know of where we might be able to get a better ethos with the people sharing the gospel with them as singles rather than married?
Actually, if you want to cross the street or the border, doesn't matter people if they're married or single, as far as if they're engaged in your passion. So look at people who have similar passion. And once you have those to connect with them, it becomes like soul bonding, soulmate, you see. And then I've asked for single people to connect with them, also to support them as well. But even married people, even large families, even institutions, you see. So that becomes part of the network, you know. It's like molecules, you know, moving to that. Prepare ahead of time and do your homework before moving into a new responsibility or setting or place. Who are there? And one of the things that Westerns make mistake, they don't contact national leaders ahead of time. They go and they, oh, I know another expatriates, another, and they connect with them. No, you're not going to serve the expatriates. You're going to merge yourself there. And those who have seen were more productive and successful, those who bonded with locals and nationals. And suddenly, you know, you have this overwhelming welcome and overwhelming open doors and overwhelming. Sometimes it takes a while for open doors for ministry, but in terms of hospitality, it can be instant. And that's what we need, you know. For sustaining us. We need the hospitality. We can offer it and receive it. Yeah. Anything else? Good. Let's look at these quickly, and then we'll stay longer here, if you like. So, the first one is focusing on what? Memorizing scripture, right? Why is that important? Because we function on conscious and unconscious level. So what we fill our unconscious determines our hours of sleep, our dream quality, and our the treasures of our heart, and what will come back in time of crisis. See, in time of crisis, this is what will come. Let scripture be last one you see before you close your eyes and the first thing you see when you open them. Not your iPhone. try to hear part of the gospel every day. Songs, sermons, devotionals, preaching, teaching, something, you know, reciting from here. And then try to sing to the Lord something as soon as you are able, even in the morning or during the day or in between. Even your voice is cracking, but force yourself. And suddenly you start to feel the mood changing. You start to feel the lifting up. You start to enjoy the spiritual environment. It's very powerful. Sing to the Lord. And then if you have friends, if you have prayer partner, if you have a roommate, read scripture together out loud and sing out loud. That is extremely psychologically healthy and powerful. Be intentional with your thought pattern and mental focus. And try to talk about the Lord with someone else daily. Make that as an intention. Even saying, I would want to give you blessings, and is there anything I can pray for you? And may the Lord bless you, because the Lord blesses me, I want to share that with you, even that small. Do your best in your life to put your life in order, in some fashion, in some structure, because sometimes disturbed and chaotic, that increases the stress and make us lose the fluency and the golden thread that keeps, you know. I have piles, I have boxes, you know, myself, you know, I need to do that myself as well. Lebanese philosopher and world teacher Charles Malik used to say, you need to put your life in order before you do anything, especially your spiritual life, put it in order. At the same time, as we're waiting for the Lord to give us some clarity here and there, let's continue to live and live well. Waiting for our assignment, or waiting for the next step, or next this, or as we're doing life. So do what you can with what you have where you are. Now, sensitive word. It's important to grieve our losses, either past losses or potential losses, symbolic losses and tangible losses. I may continue to live with this infirmity or with the unmet need for the rest of my life. I'm going to grieve that and then commit it to the Lord and then continue. Because lack of grieving can create resentment at some time. See? So we need to have the healing which comes with. And grieving is difficult, but not negative or dark. It's painful sometimes, but it's very rich, very rich. But realize in the same time that you still have way much more than many, many millions of people around the world. Okay? So when we compare sometimes, we gain perspective. Avoid self-pity and self-woe and dwelling on the negative. Keep a diary and a journal and write in it at least 3 times a week. Your thoughts, your feelings, your conclusions, your insights, and your activities, and whatever, that's very therapeutic, because we see ourselves putting our the movement of the soul and the deep thoughts and emotions and our perspective down. The hand is involved, the eye is involved, the paper is involved, and also when you're making lists as well. Try to transform any feeling of loneliness into feeling of aloneness, so it becomes less negative or unpleasant. And say to yourself, I am alone. Yeah, I'm alone with my memories, with my ideas, with the Lord, with the music, with aspiration, with my future goals. And then try to be an influencer and to speak encouragement and peace, and then mentor someone else and to pray with someone else. Because when you invest yourself in others, when we help others, we help ourselves twice. Even people who are depressed or alcoholic or sometimes in bereavement or something, when they help others, they help themselves. And try to obey God and seek His guidance to the best of your ability. And leave the rest in His hands. And let's avoid temptation and postpone temptation when they are persistent. Right? And postpone the urge and instead do something healthy and distract that urge. Defocus, break the routine, and change the mood. And then let's watch our internet and screen time. We don't have to be glued to devices because there is no end to that, and it's not very productive, and then it's very disruptive, actually. Set short-term goals, not huge big goals, short-term, and then accomplish one step at a time. That gives you feeling of accomplishment and then self-respect and motivation. Because if you put large goals, the gap would be huge between where I am here and my huge goal there. You know, and become discouraging and this and that and so forth. Initiate friendship. Don't wait for people to reach out to you. Read something about how to make friends and the art of friendships and the virtue of friendships from both Christian and professional perspective. And in terms of dating and courting, some, they feel the pressure to have a boyfriend or girlfriend all the time, because that's the fashion, and that's sometimes, especially from high school on. Why would you limit yourself to one person, one style, one person for several years, and then struggle with this and that? And why don't you do things in groups, in families? See? That's much healthier and better, and this is most culture. That's a traditional culture. This is what they do. And then, if time comes, don't say, okay, let's date and dating and boyfriend. No, you have set a goal. We are courting, and we have marriage in mind. Otherwise, this boyfriend, girlfriend, open-ended, and you never know, is it special friend or intimate friend? Is it cohabitation or a cup of coffee once a week? They call them boyfriend, girlfriend. I always ask them, what do you mean by that? Define it to me. What level of friendship is this? Is there a commitment there, or just like, just because I don't want to be alone? Why cannot you be alone? Why don't you develop a healthy aloneness, a healthy self, before you start relate to others? And then relate to others in a social manner, in a generalized manner. And the Lord will have our destiny, right? So I'm saying that because sometimes the local subculture put pressure on us, and we don't know if this is like Christian spiritual thing I should do or not, because people talk about that and people do it. Tattoo is very common and fashionable. Do everybody has to get tattoo because it is fashionable? In some places, cohabitation is very fashionable. So should we accept that as a part of our Christian also? So we have to be careful and screen things. And then when you are distressed or in need for some tangible and physical intimate, then seek those who can nurture you and fulfill you emotionally in a healthy way and in a safe way as well. And adopt some global causes that, like William Carey, he was working in something and the map of India on the wall. Adopt 2-3 countries that you can pray for them on a regular basis. So that opens and gives you broader perspective, right? Extend your horizon. And use imagination and visualization and mental images and recall nice memories and learn about deep, slow breathing when you need that and under stress. Look it up online. And there is one model, is 4-7-8. You look it up and it is very, very. And then, we are people of habit. We adopt new habits and we learn new habits, but we need to unlearn old habits that are not functioning anywhere, not healthy anywhere. As we learn new habits, we unlearn others. And then sponsor, have a sponsor, have a mentor, have an elderly, have a parent figure, nurture, homey feeling, and be around families, be around children, and then be around different people from different countries here and there, so you'll be global citizen and well-rounded. And we have the generational wisdom and the generational warmth. And let's use time wisely, because the years are passing by quickly, and we need to focus on the most important tasks and duties and people and projects. So let's redeem time well, wisely. And not being compulsive, but always laboring for the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And then the Lord knows our needs, and He will provide along the way what we need. And we can endure, and we can sustain, and we can persevere, and with joy. So let's build treasures in heaven, and knowing that where our treasures are, our hearts will be also. And the Bible says here, "The Lord be exalted, because He delights Himself in the well-being of His servants." And then let's say the last verse together here. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." And let's do it now with the "we." "We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us." Amen. And the Serenity Prayer, if we can recite it together, you know the Serenity Prayer. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Amen. And then that's my email, if you want to send me a note. And I already uploaded things online, and I will upgrade them, revise them. And thank you so much. You've been a very good audience. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and has His favor upon you until we meet again. Amen. Amen.